Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. This week we're sharing excerpts from the audiobook version of The Space Within, and today's excerpt is about becoming human and what gets revealed when we abandon the search for 24/7 happiness.
When I first began studying psychology and spirituality, I did it for completely selfish reasons. I was emotionally unstable, deeply depressed, and felt victimized by my brain chemistry. Anything that looked as though it would give me the edge against such a fearsome enemy within was something I wanted to know about. Over the ensuing 18 years, I studied multiple disciplines, receiving 9 separate certifications in fields ranging from positive psychology to thought field therapy to neuro-linguistic programming. I also experimented with various medicines, from drugs and alcohol to rituals and practices I came to call my behavioral Prozac. But despite the rich variety of theories, practices, and methodologies, my goal was always the same: to get more control over my emotional experience and move in the direction of 24/7 happiness, a life of only positive feelings without any anger, sadness, insecurity, or fear. And there's no question that my life got better. I was less unhappy more of the time and capable of functioning at a much higher level when the black dog of misery had me in its grip. So when I came across the principles behind the inside-out understanding, I did so in search of yet another weapon for my arsenal in the war against my darker nature. What I found, however, wasn't what I'd gone looking for. Instead of discovering an even better way to manage my moods, I discovered that my emotions weren't reflecting my nature, that they were in fact simply surface fluctuations atop a deep core of well-being. To be honest, this discovery was equal parts liberating and disturbing. Having spent so much of my life battling against my moods and often even winning the battle, to discover that I was only conquering shadows and defeating imaginary enemies was a bit disillusioning. Fortunately, as I got more deeply in touch with the peace of mind, disillusionment started to look like a really good idea. I quickly diagnosed myself with a disease I made up, which I named emotophobia. Emotophobia, noun, an abnormal or pathological fear of emotions, particularly those thought of as negative or non-productive. Ironically, my first inkling that I suffered from emotophobia was during a mass phobia cure for people with fear of public speaking, back when I was still co-leading NLP trainings. As literally hundreds of people took their place on stage to speak to hundreds more in the audience, my colleague was working with one particular man who rated his fear as 10 out of 10. Soon enough, that fear was down to a level 3, but my colleague wasn't satisfied until it was a 1. Close to an hour later, the man's fear had disappeared, and I had had a major insight. I really didn't mind being scared from time to time when I spoke on stage. In fact, I was quite often at a 3 or higher when I was speaking in front of groups, and I rarely gave it a second thought. Consequently, it had little or no impact on my ability to perform. In fact, the only time my emotional state seemed to have a direct correlation to my level of performance was in those situations where I thought I needed to feel a certain way in order to successfully complete a particular task. Once I noticed this, I got less and less worried about my own emotional weather. I started to see that emotophobia was fairly prevalent in our culture, fueling far more of our behavior and more of the sale of self-help books than I'd imagined. You need go no further than your local supermarket to see the fear of negative emotions in action. Wait for the first child to burst into tears, and then watch the grown-ups react. Chances are that within a minute you'll see at least one person shake their head in disgust at child or parent or both. Many turn away so they don't get caught up in the drama, and at least one come over to help put the child out of their misery. Having assisted thousands of people in overcoming phobias and changing the way they feel about different life events, it's not that I don't recognize the fact that we can change our emotional states through techniques and practice. But if feelings are no more or less than the shadows of the thoughts that pass through our mind from moment to moment, why would we? The simple truth is this: there's no such thing as a solution to a feeling. Because we don't recognize this fact, we spend huge chunks of our time and energy trying to solve our feelings by changing them to better ones or eliminating them altogether. which is kind of like trying to fix the weather, or avoiding people wearing red t-shirts because we don't like the way we feel when we see them. By way of contrast, there's a story about a psychologist coming up to Sid Banks after a talk and saying, "Well, that's all very interesting, Sid, but what do we do about anger? Are you suggesting we should just repress it? Won't it be sublimated and come out somewhere else?" Sid seemed baffled by the question, so one of his friends who was standing nearby came over to help translate. "I think what he's asking, Sid," began the friend, "is what is an appropriate response to the feeling of anger?" This didn't help, and Sid kindly continued to listen as the two men went back and forth trying to make the question explicit. Finally, the exasperated psychologist asked, "Don't you ever get angry, Sid?" "Of course I do," Sid responded. "Well, when you're angry, what do you do about it?" Sid looked more confused than ever. "Why would I do anything about it?" When it's okay to feel good when you feel good and bad when you feel bad, recognizing that as thoughts change, the feelings change with them, there's no need to prefer one feeling over another, let alone attempt to fix it. And when you really see that for yourself, you begin to experience more of the deeper feelings that make life worth living.
You can order the full audiobook at michaelneal.org/store/audiobook. Tomorrow's excerpt is about the difference between the absence of thought and the presence of mind. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk to you soon.